Oh my God, guys, good morning. How are we all doing? I'm super sorry. I'm never late. I'm never late. But today I was held up with a couple of things and I didn't know how time flew. Like time just flew on me. Time flew on me. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. So today I want to first say good morning, everyone. Welcome to Life Matters. I know Adedire. Hope you're doing well. How was your night? Mine was I slept like a baby all night. Like I can't even lie to you. Like I slept like normally I probably will wake up like three to four times in the middle of the night, but this time, your girl slept like a baby. Like I just born inside this world. That's how I slept, and it was so amazing. I am super grateful to God. Shout out to each and every one of you that join the show every week in, week out. God bless you guys. I am super grateful. This morning, first and foremost, I'm going to say a big shout out to Mike Abdul. Yes, today's his birthday. Thank you for being an amazing big brother and friend. To my family, Mike Abdul is amazing. Let me tell you what happened at first. So, I remember. Hi, good morning, guys. So, for those just joining me on the Life Matters page, good morning. See, I'm fine this morning. Just take a look at myself 1 minute, like okay. So guys, let's go on with the show. Let's go on with the show. So I remember that as I was saying, a huge shout out to Mike Abdul. Today's his birthday. Happy birthday to you, sir. God bless you. Thank you for being an amazing human being. I remember that when I came to Nigeria last year, of September, October, I reached out to him because I had him as a guest on the show. Had I? Yes, I had him as a guest on the show. And you know, normally he's one of my favorite gospel artists. To be very sincere, I have a lot of people that I really love because I know them and like I've been friends with them, but there are very few that I really love and appreciate and I celebrate and I. And I'm always like uber supportive of them. And one of those people is Mike Abdul. Mike Abdul is super amazing. So I remember that when it was time for my wedding, he said, "Oh, where's the wedding?" I said, "Ibadan." I said, "Fortunately, I'm seeing that you'll be in Ibadan that same weekend." He's like, "Okay, I should be in Ibadan, but I'm going to let you know what I'll be available for the wedding." So I'm like, okay, no problem and all that. And I moved on until I was supposed to see him in Lagos. I was supposed to see him in Lagos and I didn't see him because we were like in two, you know how Lagos is now? We're like in two different angles of each other. So we kept like, okay, we'll see. And it was not possible. But to my surprise, Tada, because I knew he had administration Sunday morning, yes, and he had administration Saturday, Sunday afternoon, and he told me he had administration on Sunday afternoon. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, he won't be available, he won't be around, all that. But tada, he came around, he came for the wedding. I'm super grateful to God for you. And yes, it's been an amazing day. So I'll dive right into what we're going to talk about today, because today is we're going to have a conversation like we did last week. But I will start all over for those that are just joining me. So let's just play a couple of music and invite your friends, share the video, let your friends know we're live. So to crown the day, I'm gonna put this. I'm gonna see if it's brand new album. Hi, Tessie, how you doing? I'm gonna see if his brand new song is on. So he has a brand new album, Mike Abdul's brand new album. So you should go check it out. But this is one of my favorite songs that in the whole wide world, and I really jived to this song on my wedding day. This is Korede by Mike Abdul.
Beautiful is okay. Jesus, look already. I
trouble, no more sorrow. I no go beg, I no go borrow. Jesus, look already. Yes, happy wedding anniversary to my big brother, Uncle Gwenga, and his wife. Happy wedding anniversary. Jesus, look already in your life in the name of Jesus. Hey! Jesus, look already. Jesus, look already. Hey, look no be them say, na reality. Hey, more testify. I glorify you, Baba. Hey, why did you walk back again, again? We are shade you. What you gonna get? I'm gonna, hey, come on. I'm gonna call it over, okay. Happy wedding anniversary, sir. More oil, more grace. Your marriage will continue to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Thanks for all your love. Oh my God, people. Uncle Gwenga guys, a special being. Like, special. I always saw it special. It's special. Inside my heart. Inside the bottom of my heart. Hey, Jesus, look already. Hey, I can't let any Jesus. Hey. Look at your day, thank God, day, thank God. Hey, I call it the redemption. I call it the connection. Hey, Modu Baba 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 Baba. Hey, Bank of the Ashes. Thank you very much. Hey, press down, shaking together, running over. Hey, oh, Ibukunto Gara. Hi Sophia, how are you doing? Jesus is the only one that can give us goodness, peace, and love. Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the only one that can give us peace, love, and joy in this world. Man will always try, but Jesus is the only one that can satisfy our heart. And that's what I want to tell you. Welcome to Life Matters. I know Adedire. Hope you are having an amazing day, because today is going to be uber amazing. So this morning, we were having a conversation. Let me piggyback a little bit. So we're having a conversation on my Instagram, Insta story. And this was what happened. I saw this video on YouTube. I'm going to play the video, right? I saw this video on YouTube, and it was a video where this person was talking about theologically correct songs. Now, I know that a lot of people will be like, what does it mean by theologically correct songs? So what he was saying is that has song leaders that we should always sing songs that are in sync with the scripture, that in sync with the word of God, and not just pick words from like a situation or whatnot. So I'm gonna play the video first, and I will let you listen to it.
Stop singing songs that are theologically inaccurate. And once again, what I mean here is this. You as a worship leader, my friend, you have a phenomenal opportunity at your fingertips to lead people into God's presence and to teach them something about the nature and the character of God. In the same way that a pastor can communicate and teach people about God, you are able to do that through the songs that you present to your congregation, because in many situations, your congregation is going to leave that church experience and they're going to sing these songs over and over again throughout the week, and whatever the lyrics are in those songs is going to get into their mentality, and they're going to start to believe those things. So there is a lot of songs out here now that they sound good, they make us feel good, but my friends, some of them are just not theologically accurate. A few of them that I can think of that are really popular now is a song called So Will I. And there's a verse in there that goes, and as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If creation sings your praises, so will I. And you sing that song and you're so moved by the music and the lyrics and you're like, oh man, this is one of the most beautiful worship songs that has ever been written. But then you go back and read the lyrics and you're like, wait a second. But as you speak, creation catches your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. Wait, that sounds like evolution. That's not how God created things. When God spoke, things were created. They didn't have to evolve into being something. So that's theologically inaccurate. Beautiful song. So if you want to still sing that song at the church, you need to switch up the lyrics so it doesn't communicate evolution. Okay. Here's another one. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Now, that's one of those popular songs, right? But is that
so that's what a beautiful name it is for those that don't know.
He was lonely in heaven. He didn't want heaven without us, and so he brought heaven down. You see what I'm saying? There should be someone at your church that has a theological degree or someone that has been to seminary or whatnot that can look at the lyrics of all of these songs and assess whether they really do accurately reflect the character of God. Because just as a preacher will, you're going to have to stand before God one day and give an account for how you stewarded the opportunity to lead people into worship. Now, while we're talking about song selection, we should also keep at a minute.
So let's first address that. What do you think? Okay, so the two examples they gave, I've had two different sides of the port. 90% of people went for the fact that I think he's taking it the extreme because they don't believe that that was the intention of the writer. Now, as a songwriter and as a singer myself, when I'm writing a song or I'm writing a piece, and like I said, if you want to jump on this, please just send me a request and I'll add you up on the page and we're going to have this conversation. So you remember that last week you had a conversation like this, and this week you're going to have a conversation. Next week and last Wednesday of the month, I'm going to have two amazing guests, two beautiful ladies who are going to talk about something very special. So sit tight and don't forget next week. I'm going to be having a very, 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 very amazing guest. So as I was saying, thinking and looking at what he said, that's based on his... And this is my stance. As a writer, when I'm writing a song, so my first song was Love. And I was in a place of, I was really, really, really overwhelmed by everything that was going on with me at that point of my life. And the only thing I could think of was God's love being overwhelming. Like, it's just overwhelmed my soul. It's just like William McDowell's Wrap Me in Your Arms. It was mind-blowing, right? And that was what I wrote. It was how God's love felt to me at that moment. Now, if you listen to the song, What a Beautiful Name It Is, part of the reasons why Jesus came on earth, and if you listen to Michael Stanley's Heaven on Earth, it's that Jesus brought heaven down. Like, there's no argument. Do you understand? Like, thy will be done on earth. So God's will, which is God's intention for heaven, is brought down on earth. So in my head, I'm thinking for 1 minute that if that's a scriptural reference, why would we say that it is not theologically correct? What is theology and what is the word of God? If you really want to have a conversation about, okay, someone, I'm going to add the person on if the person's still here. But the truth is, do we say that it's theologically incorrect? Do you understand? Hello, sir. Okay, so do we say that is theologically incorrect? Do we say that
Jesus did not know what, you get what I'm saying? So in my head, I'm thinking, where is your scriptural reference to this? If you're telling me that God is sending his son to bring his will is done on earth, so heaven is brought down, heaven's will is brought down on earth, and this person is singing that Jesus didn't, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because of the love he has for us, he gave us his son. So he wanted us to reign with him, you know, even for the first, the first sin, and we fell and all that. Do you know that the truth is that we will all be enjoying the Garden of Eden, having a cool time and fulfilling purpose. We know that. But sin came into the world, we fell, we know that, and all that happened. And Jesus came down to give us that second chance of redemption, the chance to be with God, because we are God on earth, right? So Jesus came down and gave us that chance, that life that God has given us already, and Jesus came to restore us to the Father. So if Jesus came to restore us to the Father, he didn't want heaven without us. So if we're looking for scriptural references, this man is not correct. It's his opinion, but I'm stating here that for me, when you're talking about theology, I want to give you scriptural references to what you're saying. I am not personally, I won't lie to you, I'm not a big fan. Okay, I think I have another request. I'm not a big fan of the song So Will I. Do you understand? I have never been a big fan of the song So Will I. But I still don't believe that the person that sang that song was talking about evolution. I like the mind of a writer, especially when you're writing a song that is dedicated to God, if creation sing your praises, so will I. So it means that I should not be left out in this. If God says that if you stop praising me, I'll raise up stones in your place. So it means that if the stones can praise God, if flowers, if birds can praise God, why shouldn't I? So in my head, I'm thinking, why would you not see that as evolution? Why would you see that as the person talking about, because there's nothing like evolution. When something evolves, it comes out of something. Can't we see that? Why take evolving from that to I think it was extra. I believe that before you give for every songwriter, for every gospel act out there, for everyone that sings out there, I believe that if you're going to write a song, don't just write out of your feeling. Understand the concept of God, the scripture towards. So yet I disagree with this speaker. Hell was created for the devil and these demons. So in my head, I'm like, so why would you now say it is theologically incorrect? But in the real sense of it, when you look at the scripture, God brought heaven on earth. And still, he still told us that on the last day, the first one that are going to go for, and not even us that will remain, is the dead. So in my head, I'm looking at it in the sense of, why can't we look at it and say, okay, let's sit down and look at it. And that's one problem I have with a lot of Christians out there when we're reading the scripture. So we're in Bible study or we're having a conversation with our friends, and our friend says something, instead of looking at the pretext, right? I don't know. It's not a pretext. So let's say Paul says, "Oh, you foolish Galatians." Yeah, I don't understand what he's writing. He didn't. I don't know. I don't understand. So in my head, it's more or less like I will not take just that part and say I have every right to call you foolish because Paul said, "Oh, you foolish Galatians." That is not correct. Look at the verse before that. What was Paul talking about? What made him call them foolish Galatians or Corinthians or whatever part of this? You understand what I'm saying? So let's not just take one piece of the pod and jump into it and say, oh, you know what? We are going to... Nah, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, thank you very much. He said, Babaji said, the only way to access God is through Christ, and it came down to us. So that's heaven to us on earth. So why will someone not tell me that it is theologically correct if the Bible confirms what they sang? So as a songwriter, I believe that you should be able to sit down, search the scripture. Let's sing songs that have depth. Let's sing songs that have meaning. Let me use that word, that have meaning. That you can sit down and say, you know what, let me give you an example of a song. I remember that when I first listened to Gbenga Kifewa, he's a gospel producer, artist, and all that, and he sang this song called Jesu Midimimo Majen Kuso. No, this is scriptural reference. And the scriptural reference is Jesus told me, don't let me die on the way. And the reference, you can see a reference even to Peter where he was sinking and he could reach out to Jesus. You could see a reference to, oh, ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, which means that for every time you are holding on to Christ and you take Christ's, when you take Jesus, he's not saying that there won't be burdens, but he will say he will give you rest. So it means that even with Jesus, it doesn't mean that the storms won't come. It just means that Jesus will hold my hands and make me whole so that when I go through that storm of life, I'll be able to say, Jesus was with me. And the next line is, you are the only one that can give me power. He will lolly for me lagbara. So only God can give you that power on how to walk with him, and only God can give you that power on, like, you will see scriptural references. Look at there was even one reference I gave a friend of mine, and I said it's a John Wayne song. I'm trying to see if I can remember it. I just wanna be where you are. Now, if you sit down with that song, it is so scriptural. Like, the scripture already gives us that reference where I just want to be where you are. And if God is omnipresent, it means that everywhere God is, I want to be there. So why can't we sit down with the scriptures as 2020 Christians and know what the scripture is saying about these things, and not just jump into conclusion when we see one line or one verse or one thing and just jump and leap into it? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. So before you have that argument with your friend, before you sit down and tear down, and I know that there are so many songs that are theologically incorrect. There are so many eulogies we give God that was used for God's, the small G-O-D-S, that we use when doing talking about God, which I feel that are also not correct. They're not scriptural. If you can call him Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba, Yeshua Mashiach, there's so many names of God we can use. We don't have to use it. You don't have to use some references that for Shango or all these idols. You don't have to use it. If it's not scriptural, if it's not who God is, don't use it. So I believe strongly that someone said reckless love. Oh my God, reckless love was even the big one. Oh, God's love is not reckless. This, that, that, that. And I sat down for 1 minute and I'm like, so let's imagine it. So, all the overwhelming, I forgot the song. You know the song Reckless Love? I haven't sang it all week, and I know I've forgotten it. And you know, in my head, I'm thinking that, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. You can't tell me that if you have 100 sheep, if you have 100, like, if you have a herd of flock, and they're like 2,000, and one goes missing. It is reckless of you to leave the 1,999 and go and look for that one that went missing. It is, to man, it is foolish, it is reckless, it is absurd. So a human being, that is how you feel when God leaves the 99 to look for that one sinner. And that is reckless. So the person writes it. It seems reckless. But he says, the scripture says, your ways are not my ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts. So if you think God's love is reckless, to God, he's just laughing because he's looking at it like, it's not reckless to me. I believe that each one of you that are created in my image, in my likeness, are my kids, are very special to me. And that's why there is a celebration in heaven. There's no other part where there's a celebration. Only when there is someone that comes to Christ, there is a celebration. There's a grand party in heaven. So tell me why God's act to a human being isn't reckless. Fight till you are found. It's like, let's look at the story of the prodigal son. Let's look at that. Now, it's like you going to me calling my dad now and say, hello, daddy, good afternoon. I need my inheritance. Ah. Okay. And he gives me my inheritance, right? And when he gives me, he's looking at me like, okay, this child, I don't understand what's going on, but let's see. And suddenly, people say suddenly, I squander everything. I go to Australia, go to the Bahamas, living La Vida Loca, enjoy myself. And guess what? I squander everything. I've gotten marks and marks on my credit card, my debit card, my overdraft, everything. Savings, RSP, TFSA, everything. You squander it, and at the end of the day, you now come back, and I come back to my dad and say, daddy, just make me sad. Now, let me tell you the powerful thing about that story. The powerful thing about that story is that he leaving his father's house, taking his inheritance, squandering and coming back, didn't reduce him or didn't relinquish his sonship. He didn't, for 1 minute. The father didn't say, oh my, this boy has done me wrong, I'm going to get back at him. No. Now, for me, as a Nigerian father, I was thinking that this child is coming to kill me. Do you understand? Because you'll be thinking in your head and in your mind that really, this child is really going to kill me. Because if this child could have squandered my money and come back to ask me for more, the more is that he's going to kill me and finish the job. So I won't even accept him. That is the logical thing to do. If you're looking at logic, that's the logical thing to do. The logical thing to do is to actually have that conversation with the child and say, you know what? Leave my house. I can't have you. You can't be a bad influence in this house. But what did the father do? The father took him and threw him a party, which confirms that scripture that always joy in heaven when a sinner comes to repentance and comes to Christ. Isn't that reckless to you? But the love of God is way bigger than that. I know a church in the U.S. that actually doesn't sing reckless love, but they say matchless, whatever works for you. But I feel like we should, or before we come on YouTube, or I come on, I do my research. I look at scriptural references. Before I say something, if I don't know it, I say I don't know it. I wouldn't lie to you. I don't know it. But humanly speaking, inside my mind, God's love is reckless. Is absurd. Like, it's like me kicking my father to the curb, and he's still saying he loves me. Isn't that weird? To you, I know 99.999% of us, there's this bad adage in Yoruba, which I mean is very bad. And the adage is that if a chicken pause my something away, or pause my, okay, I'll say to Yoruba, then I'll try to interpret in English. It means that if a chicken does me wrong, I will break the egg and I will not kill the chicken, which I feel is bad. It is that particular adage preaches vengeance, which the Bible says vengeance is the Lord. So why, and 99.9% of us, when a friend hurts us, we hold it on to that friend or to that person, and we never forgive. Now, to you, you say, I'm watching my back, once beaten, twice shy, I can do this. But we, our own is 1,000 beatings, and Jesus still say, "I love you." Isn't that reckless to you? Isn't that absurd? So if you look at it really, really well, guys, ladies and gentlemen, and those that watch this after, the bitter truth, if there's anything called bitter truth, the bitter truth is that God's love is mind-blowing. You can't just hold on to a piece because he doesn't look at what you've done before. He just loves you, like from the bump of his heart. If there's a word like that, he sincerely does. So for me, songs like that, and someone also mentioned "Excess Love" by Mercy Chinwo. It's not scripture, please. Let's not. Should we start digging? Like, I don't want to come on this our live and start calling out songs. But we that we listen to music, we know the kind of songs that are out there that they have no reference to scripture. Now, don't get me wrong. So there are some songs that are for like awareness. There's songs that talk about love. There's songs that like I can literally sit down and write a song and write 10 love songs from the book of Songs of Solomon. That's the bitter truth. I like saying bitter truth. Well, that's the truth. And I can show you scriptural references to it. But it is like for every Christian, for most Christians out there, don't even talk about Songs of Solomon because you are committing a sin. It's a scripture. Me, that's one of the best books in the Bible. I am not even lying to you. That's one of my best books in the Bible, the book of Songs of Solomon. So, to wrap that up, songs like Reckless Love, songs like Excess Love, God's love, like we said, excess means it goes over and over and over and over and over. It's like in a street language, it's just too much. God's love is too much. You can't even count it. Let me rant for 1 minute. Like, God's love is just, it's just too much. You understand? It's too much. That's the truth. It's too much. To me, it's too much. To him, it's like, I'm not actually even doing it. I've not even started yet. That's why the scripture still tells us that his ways are not our ways. So when someone comes out and talks about theologically incorrect songs, the last one that someone told me about is this new song by Moses Bliss. You're too faithful to fail me. You're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. And a pastor's wife said they should not sing it again in their church because it is not correct. God is not too, there's nothing called too faithful to God. I'm like, we are the problem of ourselves, we Christians. It's we that have our own problem. We are. It's we, Gogo. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They're new every morning. Now, it means that God's love, every morning I wake up, is brand new. So when I think about it, I look at it in the sense that if every morning his love is new, if every night I'm sleeping, he provides his angels to keep charge around me, why can't I say he's too faithful? That when I'm falling, he's there to pick me up. And when I'm feeling weak, he said he will. When we are weak, he became my own strength. So why can't I say, you've been faithful, God, from the end? So if he sang, you are too faithful, God, they're just adjectives to qualify that this is. So adjectives is to qualify it now, Abby. So it's to just add more props to the now. And this one is the one that is a verb, adjective, Abby. It's an adverb that is true, an adverb, whichever one. So if you look at it that way, we're not saying that's God. So if he said you are not, how will you not sing this? You are ever faithful to faith. I think we have to have a class on songwriting. We need to call like someone to come and talk to us, like a songwriter. Let the birds sit us down and have a conversation with most of us. I remember when I was younger, and I was sharing this with my husband. I remember when I was younger, there was this man that came to my church. I'll hide his name because I think he's on Facebook. Okay, so balance you. Whatever song we sing, we should be Liberian believers and set the scriptures for ourselves. Lyric is powerful and has a spirit behind it. We should guard our heart. Pagam, like, murder it. He just killed it. He just nailed it. Like I said, always listen. Like, it's not every song that has Jesus in it that's the gospel song. It's not every song that has Oh Father in it. Like, that's the bitter truth. So let's just tell ourselves that, right? So I remember that when I was younger, they sang this song in my church. You make me wonder, I wonder. So when this man came up the podium, he said, we're singing an incorrect song. So everybody inquired, like, what's that, what's going on? The man said the song we sang was not correct. He said, do we mean that we are wandering around like the children of Israel in the desert? How? Now, this man is thinking W-A-N-D-E-R, when you wonder, when you just walk about without reason. What we were singing is W-O-N-D-E-R. So in my head, I'm just thinking, wait, how does this correlate? Like, how does it correlate? Do you understand? How are we singing God makes you wonder, which is, it makes you surprised, it makes you, and you are talking about wonder as in someone be walking up and down. You can see that it was the one that took it as the wrong thing. But some people will stop without going back to understand the lyrics, understanding what the person was talking about. Guess what people will do? They'll go about singing the song, or not singing the song, and say they did not, they told them not to sing the song in their church. Don't just believe. Sit down for yourself. Sit down. Open your own scripture. Google the lyrics if you are not sure about something. Google the lyrics. Google the lyrics. Sit down and see what you're listening to. If it's not correct, that's what they are. Kanye West album is not. Mm-mm. If you sit down by yourself. Sorry, guys. If you sit down and you're like, guys, I believe strongly that I should be able to work around it, and I should be able to do this. I should. If you sit down with the lyrics of a song, and you say, "Oh, is I time to understand what this person is singing?" I believe strongly that it worked for us. So I think at that point we have resolved the issue of what they call it. We resolved the issue of these particular references. If you want to go and look at So We Lie, you can go look at the song. I'm a big fan of the song personally. People feel like, I know how you say that. I don't know the song. I'm not a huge. There are songs I'm not a fan of, and it's not but it's not a thing. There's nobody that will do it on the song. Me, I know that 90%. Okay, so let me give a clarity to you. 90% of the songs that even Kanye puts on his album are all of those songs. Hallelujah, salvation and glory. It's not a song. There are so many songs like that. So let's even just go take it off. So I'll continue with the conversation this man is having, and that's what I'll conclude with, which I'm going to talk about.
minimum, those songs that really don't provide a lot of depth in terms of who God is and his nature. I call them the 7-11 song. You sing the same seven words 11 times in a row, and you just keep repeating it again and again and again. We need to evolve, so to speak, past that.
Okay, so he was talking about 7-11 songs. Songs that you just repeat the same thing. Okay, to put context to what he said, some of those songs don't give clarity to who God is, doesn't give substance to who God is, doesn't give depth to who God is. But so the clarity to this is that there are some of these songs that he's correct. Some of them don't give depth to who God is, or what God has done, or who God is to you. But the repetition of the same words over and over again, I don't agree. In heaven, right now, as we are talking, according to the scripture, the angels are singing, holy, I mean, the 24 elders, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, all day, every day. Are they theologically incorrect? No, that's the truth. You are looking for theologically correct. Don't do this, don't do that. There's nothing we sing again. So if God, your mercy never fails. God, your mercy never fails. God, your mercy never fails. They're new every morning. If that's a song God has given you, please sing it. Because truly his mercy never fails. And maybe that's even a brand new song. But that's the truth. If that is what God has ministered to you, I believe that there are some songs that are given based on instructions, right? Like Nathaniel Bass's Yeshua Mashiach. Those songs are just, they are just instructive. They are Yeshua Mashiach. Like, is who God is.
I'm alive. Good.
It took you almost 1 hour to join the show.
Well, I was having audio issues. So if you notice, I kept, you know, connecting and disconnecting.
We forgive you, small.
Sorry.
So what
off my chat. Is this audio good?
Yeah, it's good. Okay. You can drop them.
Yeah. I took my time to put the lyrics for So Will I.
Okay.
Up. Now there are things that, so first thing you have to realize that a lot of people don't understand creatives. Creatives are like a troublesome bunch. When you say one thing, and not when a creative says something, another creative might understand, but someone else might not understand. You know, so with that, you must know that people sometimes miss a lot of things that creatives say in their songs, in art. You might have a single sentence that has like a lot of connotations to it. You might have, that is why I don't subscribe to people who want to judge your album or your single listening to it just one time. So they'll say hit or miss or something, and they listen to the song one time and they say, I like it, oh, it's good, it's dope, or no, it's trash. No, you can't get the essence of the song listen to it one time. That's the truth. You know, mm-hmm. So because there's a lot for deep songs. There's a lot of things that go into it. There's a lot of maybe metaphors that might have gone over your head that you missed the first time. So let me take it from where you stopped. About repeating songs, and I totally agree with you that I disagree with that guy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, because, so for example, Jesus my help. And I'm a huge Hezgah Walker fan, you know, by the way. Jesus my help, my help, my help. Jesus my help. That's the bulk of that song. But when I first listened to that song, every time they said it, maybe after every other four times or so.
Look, you can drop the mic. I can actually still hear you.
You can hear? Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, so every other three or four times that they repeated Jesus my help, at the back of my mind, something will burst for like another remembrance of every time that I've seen Jesus Christ come through for me.
Hmm.
You know, so if they are stuck at the fifth time, some revelation came at the 12th time wouldn't have come. You know, so it's fine song for as long as you are repeating it with a purpose in mind. I've also had you know, times where I listen to a song first two times, maybe I'm trying to score it, and then maybe after I listen to like seven times, I'm like, how did I miss this part? It's like the Bible.
Yeah.
Do you understand? You read scriptures that you think you're familiar with, and then just last week or 2 weeks ago, I was reading another Bible in the book of John. I'm like, how did I miss this part? It's new revelation, you know. So that is some of the things that creatives get to bear. Sometimes people will not understand everything you're trying to say, you know. So back to what I was saying about So Will I. This song is very deep. One of the things you said was that you're not a big fan of the song. At first, I wasn't. I didn't really care for it, you know, that much, until I listened to it, you know, a few times, and then I saw the words. God of creation, there at before the beginning of time. Think about that. Before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. Repeat that a few times, and then every time you repeat it, it just says something different.
That's Genesis now, 1:1-2, basically.
Exactly, but this one goes a few layers even deeper. Because when we read Genesis, we just think God was there somewhere in space. There was no space when God was saying these things. I don't know why it would be like, you know, so this guy said there was no point of reference. God wasn't going to say, let us create the earth to look like. There was no circle. Do you understand? There was no square. There was no light. There was no darkness. There was no air. There was no space. And so God was saying, I'm going to start everything from scratch. In fact, there was no scratch. He wasn't starting from scratch. There was no scratch. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So this song gave me a deeper, maybe not deeper, maybe just another coloring to what happened in Genesis chapter 1. He says, and as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. Well, now, so let's get to the point where you say, where he said,
let there be light.
It's not scriptural. No. He said, it's not scriptural. When you look at it at the surface, it's not scriptural, because the Bible never said 100 billion galaxies were born. You know, but it is scientifically proven. As we speak right now, hundreds of galaxies are being born right now.
Yeah.
If you, I'll recommend, what's his name now? Luis Giglio. I don't know if you know him. Luis Giglio did a video. Check it up on YouTube. I played it for my former choir, and people were crying in rehearsal. He went into the geography of God, just the physical that we've seen so far. And that thing will blow your mind. It will humble you just at the sheer enormosity, if there's any word like that, of God. God is not our mate. Our brain cannot wrap around it. It doesn't even make, God does not make sense. I started telling myself, God does not make sense. So when he says 100 billion galaxies are born, and the vapor of your breath, the planets form, it is scientifically proven. You know, so while you might not have this line in the Bible, it is there. The reality is there. There's one place he said, what the totality of our praise.
Yeah, so where he has a problem is,
yeah,
and as you
the speak, evolution part.
100 billion creatures catch your breath,
evolving in pursuit.
So for me, if God says, let the fish, what evolving means, sorry, I want to check a dictionary so that I am evolved to evolving. No, I always sit down with people. It means to develop gradually, especially from a simple to a more complex form. So when God said, let there be fish in the sea, that means there was sea, but there was no fish. There was, if I'm looking at the word evolving, it means to develop out. So they came, as he said it, the words came forth, and there was a process of creation for them as they evolved inside that same seed that was there already.
How is that
evolution?
I know here's another level. Number one, I think it's petty, like I said, that you equate evolving with evolution. They are two different. I mean, you have to, like you said, context is everything. I told them in my choir, context is everything. Have you ever seen all this? I know you're not from the side, but have you seen Agbero's when they greet themselves? That's their greeting. So if you don't look at the context of their relationship, people are like, they're abusing their mother. But that's the highest quality. Do you understand? And the other guy is, you know, he's happy.
He's sweating.
Exactly. You know, so context is everything. Evolving is totally different from evolution. Come on. Again, because that video I'd shared it in my choir WhatsApp group, and just about everybody disagreed with that part, because the guy shared I think seven things choir people need to stop doing, and number one was really, really good. You know, don't make it about yourself, and I like that. Then it just went kind of downhill from there. You know, I think it was being overtly deep, honestly. You use metaphors in song. A song is oftentimes a poem with rhythms and melodies. Yeah. You know, so it's I don't get where that's evolving. And see, another level is this. When he said let there be fishes in the waters, blah blah.
Yeah.
They came from something. So that was a level of evolving. Now another part is, even as we are now, we are not everything God had said.
We're still evolving.
Thank you. Do you understand? So the things that he said that will happen at the end of time, but we all are working to that point. We're in progress. Yeah.
You just nailed it. I checked the synonym of you. I like English. Yeah. I checked the synonym. Develop. Yeah. Progress.
Exactly.
Yeah. Derive. Emerge. Yeah. Expand. Yeah. Grow. Mature. Okay.
Yeah.
This man should go take several seats.
I don't know. So, I mean, on that one, I totally don't even get it. I don't get it. And I think maybe he got what he was looking for, which was attention. Some people just say some really outrageous things.
But on my comment, a lot of people agree with him.
Saying that evolving means evolution.
Everything he said was correct. And in my head, these people that I feel like they're deep people, they're like scripture-based people. And in my head, I'm sitting down, I'm thinking, do we actually sit down? Like, before, I'm very careful before I make a comment.
Yeah.
And because I know that it is, my comment is an image of who I am. So if I say something to you, it totally means that is what, and that's why Peter always says that if you want to know a true Christian, go to an Insta blog or all these blogs and see their image. That would be, Peter says everything. And there are times when I actually go there and I am utterly disappointed in some things I see, and I'm like, now, big bros, I they call you. You understand what I'm saying? I see all these people selling sex stuff or diabolical stuff, and I see even gospel acts liking the pages, and I'm like, or liking the pages. Like, it reflects on what your forget. See, it can be so much social media for you. For me, it is a platform for evangelism for me. So
social media is actually an extension of who you are in real life. You can fake it, but at some point we're going to find out.
Which is true. So I want you to talk about the last one before we even end the show, because I agree with this one you said. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm singing songs that are theologically inaccurate.
Oh, no. So,
once again, what I mean, just songs that the worship leader or the worship team knows, because just because it's your favorite song, it may not necessarily be a song that everyone else knows. And so try to make sure that it's a group of songs that the congregation can actually engage in, so they're not focusing so much on reading the words and learning a new song that they can't really reflect on the worship.
Which I totally agree. Agree. So he said, when you're singing a song, when you're singing a song or you're leading, don't just sing songs that your choir or your worship team like jives to. Sing songs that you can also teach the congregation, and they won't just be so interested. I remember the first day I taught my church what do you call this song? You Are by Jumbo. So I sang it first. You're the living God, there's no one like you. I sang it so that they're familiar. Then I taught the church, then the choir came in. So till tomorrow morning, the same thing with this song, what they call this song? The man you say that's come to worship. I teach them the entire song. So that particular part where I really wanted them to understand the essence and the intent of the writer and the essence of the meaning of the song, I taught the church first. Then I told the choir coming. So which I agree with him that 90% of the time I watch a lot of live streams. Like I have like 10 churches I watch that I love their worship or whatnot. But a lot of times I always notice that the first out of four songs for praise, your praise set or your worship set, out of the four songs, the congregation has no idea what you're singing, and you guys are jumping on stage. And I'm like, there should be that's the only part of this video I agree totally with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the question now is, how can a choir, because some people will say, okay, mix and match songs, you should be able to teach some, like, or if I'm a gospel act and I go to a new church and they don't know my song, how do we as a team, or how do I as a choir leader or as a leader make sure that the congregation can also jive to what I'm doing?
Yeah. Okay, so I think you said two things. I'll take it from a home choir point of view first. You must know your congregation. As a gospel artist, going to another church is a different ballgame entirely. If you know there are some congregations that are not very receptive of new songs, let's face it. That is why when some pastor says, oh, if you are called to sing, just sing, don't talk. And I think, you know, at the heart of it is totally, is almost impractical. Like, okay, let me just sing the song they know, and then, you know, I'm out. And anybody can do that. As a worship leader, you are doing 90% of what the preacher will do. You're just using songs. So there are times that you might need to break down things. Now, you don't overdo it. You know, I also don't subscribe to people just talking. But there are times that I heard someone sing a song, and I thought I got it until they share a scripture or the experience that birthed the song. I'm like, oh, that's deeper. You know, so sometimes it's bringing things to the congregation. Know your congregation. It's interesting that you said, the man you saved, when I got to my present assembly, we sang a lot of quote-unquote new songs that they were not used to, songs that just came out. But what I did was, I took the songs that were one-liners. Savior, 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 the man you saved has come to worship. That one is easy. What was this Lily song? Come on. Lily Perez, she has one song, powerful song like that. You know,
the
so I just took
one? Song.
You know, the one that
the
was really popular.
Yes,
like 3 years ago. Come on.
And I still sang it though, even when I had it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. You know, so I took my
new
time.
New ones won't come into my head, sorry.
So what I did was took my time to look for songs that were easy to learn. And then when the choir, so another thing is knowing how to bait your congregation. So let the band do a dope intro.
Amazing God, you do mind-blowing things.
Thank you. Amazing God, you do mind-blowing things. Amazing God. Who would not like that song at first listen? Do you understand? You know, so by the time, so I was talking about the knowing how to bait your congregation.
Yeah.
When the music group does a dope intro and you play it and sing it well, everybody likes good music, whether you know it or not. First time it comes out really good, and then you simmer down and say, okay, this is a new song we're going to teach you right now. People are more receptive.
Yeah.
Rather than you just entertaining yourself or feeling yourself. So that's another balance. A lot of people, because the harmony is dope, or you are hitting notes that you know you don't hit, and then you know someone is like going hit, and they're going everything. You just entertain yourself, and then you're done, and then you lose the congregation. And like you said, the praise and worship oftentimes is the only part where the people participate.
Yeah.
Other times they are mute, and it can make church boring. You know, so don't deprive them of that experience. Let them participate, even if you are doing it, and then don't do four new songs. Come on, nobody's that intelligent to take it all in. So you're doing a set of seven songs. Do one, maybe two new songs, and that's it. And then when you sing that, you know, draw them in with what I usually do, sing a song they know. Then when they're into it, sing a song that maybe they don't know, and then you teach it. And then when you get to, you know, go on songs that they don't really know, and then end it with the song that you started with. Just as some kind of, to refresh them, and, you know. So it's knowing how to bait or how to work the congregation. I think it's yes. So the other side is, if you're an invited guest in a church that you don't, you know, how do you engage the people? I don't think there's anything wrong with singing up with songs and then interspersed with your own songs, especially if your songs are not well known.
Which is very true. Which is very There should be that blend. Thank you very much, Uncle Gwenga. We have just 18 seconds left, but don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As we wrap up the show today, it's been so amazing, and I will see you next week to another amazing episode of Life Matters to Anadedire. God bless you till I see you next.